Good morning, church. You know, tying in what Joe said, it's kind of interesting because the sermon kind of aligns with what he was talking about. I woke up this morning and I left early the house to go to Walmart and get some donuts for the church. I go every Sunday and get donuts. And on the way there, I realized I had forgotten my wallet. And so I was like, oh, man. So I called Jamie. I said, did I leave my wallet laying there? She's like, I didn't see it. So I've got my phone. At least I can still use that to be able to take care of paying for it, you know. And by the way, speaking of Walmart, me and Cooper shop at the same place. If you look at Cooper today, you'll notice that we got the memo. I don't know about the rest of you guys. But anyways, but on the way there, so I called, you know, I get off the phone with my wife there. And then I pick up my coffee and I spill a little bit on myself, you know. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. It's, what kind of day is this going to be, you know, right? You know, you start thinking about feelings and what that means and how you respond to this, you know. And there have been times in my past, and not very recent or not very, you know, distant past, that you know, things like that would really bother me, and I'd flare up and I'd get really super mad about it. And this morning was just one of those days. I said, okay, let's talk about this with the Lord. let's keep ourselves under control. And I think what Joe is even talking about, you know, is these feelings is the fact that if we will place facts and we'll place our faith and the feelings follow, well, we might get angry at times or we might get sad or these things. It all lies more within God's will than it does within our own understanding then. And that's what it comes back down to. But if we'll put those two things first, if we put God first in our lives, that will change how we respond to those feelings. All too often we see in the world today that everybody just responds according to their feelings. Like Joe was saying, like you're angry, so you're just going to do something crazy. Or you're sad, so you're not going to, I'm just not going to get out of bed. I'm not feeling it today, right? And we can't respond that way. We have to respond first and foremost to God and what God would have us to do each day. And God calls us into this world to live and walk with Him, to share this life with Him. Not this bad every once in a while to sleep in. I'm not saying that. Not this bad every once in a while, like Joe's saying, to be angry, but then be angry and yet do not sin. It's the understanding of God's prerogative in our lives, God's direction in our lives. I'm going to ask you to open up to 2 Peter chapter 1 today as we're going to work through a few of the verses there. But it's going to tie back in kind of exactly what Joe was talking about. Because even though we have these feelings or these things happen to us, God gives us the ability through the power of His Holy Spirit to be able to have some channeling of those things in our lives. And like Joe said, you know, it's like if we won't do these things, if we won't ever try to take control in some form or fashion with God, what are we really doing? Are we really trying to live the Christian life that God has called us to? Or are we just out there living everything we want to do and say, well, I'm a Christian? Because there is a difference to that. We see people out in the world who might call themselves Christians, and I've given you guys this statistic many times. If you go to Pew Research, you see that only 6% of professing Christians, only 6% have a biblical worldview. And I've had people ask me, what does that mean? I'm going to give you some understanding of what that means. Someone calls you on the phone and say, hey, Rob, yes, hey, we're taking a poll here. We'd like to ask you some questions. Okay, sounds good. Are you a Christian? I say, yes. Great, check. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Check. Yes, I do. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to the kingdom? Yes. Check. So far, I'm good, right? Biblically speaking. Do you believe that everyone knows what tomorrow is, right? June 1st. What do we get smacked with in the face tomorrow? Pride Month. Not only do we have to look at it every day, we have to celebrate this stuff, right? We have to celebrate sin. Right. Someone asked me, hey Rob, do you agree with that homosexuality is a sin? I said, oh no. Love is love. Oh, nope. You no longer have a biblical worldview because you've taken something that the Bible says is sin and you now disagree with that. That's what it means. Only 6% of professing Christians. So there's 80 million Christians in the United States of America. Only 6% of those literally read and understand and try to live the life by the Word of God. Think about that. Think about how small that number becomes when you think about that. That's how they do these polls. That's how they come to understand that. 6%. Who does that fall upon? Ultimately, it falls upon the individual. We're talking about this in Sunday school class today. There's so many different translations of the Bible. What am I supposed to do when this translation says this, but this translation says this? Well, we can go talk to each other as Christians. Absolutely, we should. We should fellowship with one another. We can go talk to the pastor, right? But don't we have a responsibility as individuals to dig in? Don't we have a responsibility to be individual and say, I'm going to dig in and study this. I want to find out why these translations are reading different, and where does this really come from, and what is the truth? Ultimately, because here's the truth of life, guys, and I've said this before from the pulpit. Someday, each one of us individuals will stand before the Lord, not with backup. And we're going to have to answer to Jesus, not with, hey, Pastor Rob, can you come with me here? That's not the way this works. It ties into us individually and how we will take the Word of God and study it and apply it to our lives. Because someday we are going to stand before our Lord and Savior. And I think about that song all the time. I can only imagine what that's going to be like, right? Are we going to fear that time? Or are we going to be walking with the Lord so closely here that whenever we get to see Him, we're just going to run up to Him and give Him a big hug and say, hey, so great to see you face to face, right? And that depends on how we start to live our lives here. You say, well, how am I supposed to live my life here? What am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to understand all these things? Well, here we have an opportunity where God is speaking through Peter, right? I've told you guys this 100 times. When we read these letters, this isn't just Peter putting pen to paper. If this is just a man writing a letter to some people and there's no influence of God in this, it doesn't mean anything. But we understand this to be the Word of God. These letters are given to Peter and Paul by the Holy Spirit to put pen to paper to give direction to us as Christians, to those people at that time as Christians. And this book, this Word of God is what? It's timeless. Jesus tells us that. It's eternal, right? So whenever it's told to them 2,000 years ago, it's told to us today, it's the same thing. Nothing's changed. In fact, I would encourage you, if you want to go back in history and look at the time that these letters were written, what kind of life was going on? What was the Roman culture like? I would say it's very much like the American culture is today. Very much like that. Very much. So here we have this understanding as we look through Scripture, the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, writing these letters to these people and to us today of how we can better understand and live the Christian life. So I'm going to start in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we have to understand that as Peter's writing this letter, it's just like this whole understanding of we can't go out to just anybody in the world and say, like tomorrow, as we start combating this whole Pride Month celebration thing, and make them understand at home that they're not going to, if they're not a believer in Jesus, they haven't been changed by the Holy Spirit, if they've not given of themselves and repented of their sin and been redeemed, they're not going to understand the Word of God that we try to explain to them. They're just not. Until they get redeemed, it's going to sound like folly. And 1 Corinthians tells us that. The people who, when we speak the truth, it sounds like foolishness to them. But to us, we know it's the power of God. We know it. Right? Because we've been redeemed. We've been restored by the power of the blood of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. We know that. It makes sense to us. The scales have been lifted off of our eyes. The veil has been pulled back. We can now see clearly all of these things that are in the world that are not of God. And we're called to live by the Word of God, to stand on the Word of God. To have that as be a part of us. I was talking in Sunday school this morning. You read in the Old Testament a few times in there, God tells the prophets, eat of the scroll. This is my word, eat it. The symbolic nature, your understanding of that is what? It becomes a part of us. The Word of God becomes a part of us. It's not just something we read and put off to the side and forget about it. The Word of God is a part of us. We were created in the image of God. He spoke us into existence. He wove us in the womb. To do what? To have a relationship with Him, to glorify Him, to live this life with Him, to honor Him for His kingdom. We have a plan and a purpose in this life given to us by God the Father. And we are called to do that. But He hasn't just left us with nothing, right? So it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now let's just pause there. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, what do I have? But what tools do I have in the bag here? Everything. If you're a Christian and you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Father is not withholding any tools from you to live a life of godliness. He's not withholding a time of fellowship. He's not withholding prayer. He's not withholding the study of Scripture. He is not withholding any of these things from any of us. We read about in Acts chapter 2:42, right? We see these people who come to Jesus. They get saved, right? And then what do? They devote themselves. Are we devoting ourselves to the Word? Are we devoting ourselves to the study of it? Are we devoting ourselves to prayer? And I don't just mean on Sunday mornings. You might say, yeah, well, I'm here on Sunday morning. I'm talking about every day of the week. Life with Jesus is not just on Sunday, right? It's every day from the time we get saved. It's every minute, every second, every hour from here on out until we breathe our last here. How are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are we participating in those things? God tells us very clearly, do not forsake meeting together as some do. In other words, hey, get together in fellowship. This is what this is. Fellowship's not just sitting down having a meal and talking about how nice the weather is. Fellowship is really coming together and studying the Word and talking about things we're going through in life, praying with one another, working through those things. These are the tools that God has given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit, right? We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I went through that list kind of fast, I know, but you guys know I say it a lot. Those are some tools, they're supernatural tools that through the power of the Spirit, through our life with Jesus, God has given us to walk this life of godliness that we are called to. Well, are we called to godliness? Sure, it says in the Bible, be holy as my Father is holy. And we're only holy in and through Jesus Christ who gives us the Holy Spirit. We're not holy on our own. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something we can produce. It's something that we have to walk with Jesus, and He is the one who makes us holy. When Jesus dwells within us, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that's what makes us holy, right? And so how are we responding to the Holy Spirit? The Bible also tells us, do not quench the Spirit. That's another kind of a tool. So if we're doing something, we're quenching the Spirit in our lives. To quench the Spirit, how do you quench the Spirit? You sin. That's one way. It's a major way of quenching the Spirit in your life, right? You live a life of sin, and you start hardening your heart to the ways of God, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Whenever you sin, the Holy Spirit does what? Boom, conviction. Boy, it hits us. And every one of us knows it. If you've walked with Jesus, you know conviction. It hits you. It's just like, man, that's definitely conviction. Now, we have to respond to that conviction. We have a duty, a responsibility to respond. Not for our eternal souls, guys. Not for anybody else. For our eternal life with God. It's our responsibility to respond to the Holy Spirit. And God has provided for us in this situation everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. His own glory and excellence. When you jump back up there, in verse 2 it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. We understand, how do we understand that word grace to be? Is it just something like, oh yeah, God bestows His favor upon us? No. It's the power of God working in us and through us to be able to live this life. That's what grace is. God's grace is more than just, oh, something, he pours some favor out on us. It's His power to work in and through this life so that we will respond to His calling. Will we or not, right? Isn't that the ultimate question? That we've talked about this in Sunday school a little bit today. It's like, what does the end look like? Well, the end's going to look like, does my life look the way Scripture draws it up to be? Or am I just out there doing my own thing and hoping at the end that it'll just be good enough? God doesn't give us direction just to be good enough. He gives us direction to follow Jesus through the power of the Spirit so that we can share in eternal glory with Him one day. So that we won't spend time condemned to hell for all of eternity. Because that's the other side of this coin, right? The other side of this is condemnation in hell for not knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, not walking with Him daily, not living a life fully committed to Him, right? We don't want to waver. I had a situation, you know, my health care that I use is Samaritan Ministries. It's kind of a health share program. It's not really health care. It's not health insurance. But anyways, one of the things they do in there for me to be able to even be on that plan is they give me a list of things that I have to be following to be able to even share in that plan. Do I go to church at least 3 times a month? Am I participating? Now, this is just to give them money so I can share in a health savings account, a health savings plan. Okay? That's what this is about. Now, think about this. This is something that is kind of a minor thing from the eternal perspective, but this is what we're looking for to be a part of this. Now, think about what God's given us and shown us to be a part of the church, to be a part of His kingdom, to be a part of eternity with Him forever, for all time. That is something that is powerful. And he doesn't just leave us with nothing. Romans 8:26 tells us that as well. You know, we talk about prayer and the power of prayer. Say, well, you know, you've had people come up. Maybe you've had people come up to you and ask you, how do you pray? What does prayer mean, right? Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't need to ask somebody, but you're welcome to. But prayer is just this relationship, this conversation that we have with the Lord, with our heart intent of talking to God and asking Him for His direction in our lives, bringing our requests to Him, our praises to Him, right? And we have trouble understanding or trying to communicate that to God. We're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that the Holy Spirit Himself helps us with our prayers. God sent the Holy Spirit to help us with our prayers, right? So you can be sitting there and say, Lord, please, I don't even know the right words for this, but you know my heart, Lord, you know what's going on here. And the Holy Spirit will help us with that. The Holy Spirit will relay that to Jesus, who sits where? At the right hand of the Father, doing what? Interceding for us. He has interceded for us already here through the cross. He has borne all the sin so that He can sit at the right hand of the Father and intercede for us daily, right now. The power of prayer. The power that God has not left us with nothing, but that God has left us with everything. This holy God and Father who completely loves us. For by these, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You know, lust is such a terrible, horrible thing in our lives. It leads us to do things that we shouldn't do. It's like this thing that we just fight all the time. We desire things that we shouldn't desire, and it leads us to make these bad decisions, right? We're told that. You go back into James, and you can read about that as well, that if you let lust lead your life and you continue following out, it leads to sin, which leads to death. What this death is in the Bible, what this talking about, this death is a second death, this spiritual death, that we're separated from God. Totally separated from God. So we need to understand that through Jesus, He's given us this opportunity to partake of this divine nature, of the kingdom nature in our lives today. But we have to be willing to pick that up and go do it. We can't say, I don't have the tools. I don't have the opportunity. I don't have the time. I don't. We do. He's given it to us. He's blessed us with it. And He calls us to reach out to use these things. It says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith. Joe just talked about that. What's your faith? The fuel. The fuel. So you have to be diligent. Diligent. What does that mean? It means you're not going to give up. It means you're going to stay. You're going to be doing this every day. You're going to work on this, right? You're going to supply this fuel every day. You feed your bodies, don't you? Right? John just talked about this with the living water. We need to drink. If we don't drink water for 3 days, what happens to us? We die, right? If we don't eat water eat for 3 weeks or something, we're going to die. All of these things that are out there, we have to take care of our bodies. Spiritually, we have to take care of things too. We have to be doing these things. We have to be fellowshipping and praying and reading the Word, studying the Word. Those are what feeds us and speaking to the Lord and just taking time with Him. He pours into us. He talks about that in John chapter 6. In fact, that's why we read John chapter 6, verse 66. But before verse 66, He tells all of these people that He is the bread of life, that He is the living fountain. He tells them who He is. And you know what it says in John chapter 6, verse 66? They couldn't handle this, and so thousands of them walked away from Jesus. Even Jesus couldn't compel them or make them or force them to believe this. And they walked away from Jesus, right? But what we can see in that is that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And we see that throughout the rest of history, even after that happened, these disciples who continued to follow Him, they were blessed. And what were they blessed with in the end? Blessed with the opportunity to suffer the way Jesus suffered, to share the gospel. Don't misunderstand that that might happen to you in your daily life. You might share the gospel with somebody and they might turn around and scoff at you, laugh in your face, make fun of you, decide not even be friends with you. But if you are giving them and sharing with them the eternal word of God that brings about life, right? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power for salvation to all who will listen and believe. right? This is part of what God has given us, this word, to be able to share in this, right? Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you ask about these things and you get to see God moving and working and speaking through a letter to these people, and then he speaks to us today, what does that say to us? Man, I better be working on these things in my life. If I want to live a true life with Jesus, this isn't just a willy-nilly kind of a happenstance relationship. This is an intentional, directional relationship. I have to be intentional. I have to be dedicated. I have to be diligent in my life of walking with Jesus, praying, being in the Word, being in fellowship, working on questions when they come about. How I don't understand the answer to this. Okay, let's work through it. Right? God has provided already. Now it's up to us to take these things on and use and work through and apply them to our lives. He hasn't given us something we can't apply. We should understand that. We should know that. Now it comes up to us to doing it. Are we doing it? What does that mean? What does that mean for us? As the praise team comes back up to lead us in song, that's something that we should continue to understand and work on in our lives. It always comes back to this question for me. I always have this question. You guys know I end with this question a lot. Do you know Jesus in that way? What do I mean by that? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you have a relationship with him that brings about change in your life? That brings about change through what? Conviction. Are you convicted on the daily? Honestly, guys, we should be. If we're studying the Word, we are going to be convicted daily. And conviction should do what? It should bring about change. I talk about this all the time. When people go to prison, the reason they go to prison is because they messed up. They made a choice that was bad. But the prison is supposed to do what? Bring about correct. They call correctional institutions. Bring about correction to be able to put people back on the right path. This conviction of the Lord puts us back on the right spiritual path to follow him and to live out his ways. And he hasn't left us alone. The Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Read John chapters 14, 15, and 16. You'll see how Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. These promises of God, we get to share in them today. When he was talking about them, before this letter appears, talk about these promises, they didn't get to experience them until later. We get to experience these promises of God on the daily. It's wonderful. Let's not take this for granted. Let's walk in these promises of God. Let's apply these things to our lives. And when we do, not only will we be blessed, our families be blessed, our work environment will be blessed, our community will be blessed. It'll be a wonderful thing. Our church will be blessed. As we sing, these altars are open. I don't know what God has said to you today. Whatever he spoke from the Word to you and to your heart, you know. These altars are open. Whatever is on your heart, whatever conviction you might have, I ask you to bring it to the altar. Lay it down. Give it to Jesus. Be with him. Talk to him about it. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've not come to this point and you say, I need to have that. Come see me, please. Please, I want to pray with you. I want to talk to you about that. I want to, if you're ready to receive Jesus, man, I want to share that with you. Don't let another minute go by. We're not guaranteed the next minute, guys. Right now, you have right now. As we sing, I invite you, come to the altar.